One of the fundamental rights of people caught up in our criminal justice system is due process. That means you get a competent attorney, and if you lose the case, you get to appeal. We're going to talk today about a case in Tennessee that illustrates some of the difficulties with that state's appeals process. In 2007, a man named Thomas Edward Clardy was convicted of murder and sentenced to life for killing a man and wounding a woman at an auto body shop in Madison, Tennessee. Clardy has always insisted that he's innocent. His wife provided an alibi, and when he lost the case, he appealed. Now, in Tennessee, there's a limit to how much an appointed attorney can earn defending a client who's appealing a conviction. That means lawyers representing clients on appeal, like Thomas Edward Clardy, often earn next to nothing for their work. Andrew Cohen is a senior editor at the Marshall Project. He's been covering Clardy's case. Jessica Van Dyke is an attorney at Parker Lawrence Law in Nashville, Tennessee. She represents Clardy. And she says this case started with a lot of confusion, including conflicting reports from eyewitnesses.
At the hospital, the victims were both interviewed. They were giving descriptions. They were talking about the car being a four-door, dark-colored car. They were giving heights and weights and head coverings. And so, still to this day, it's unclear to me how Mr. Clardy became the suspect, other than he was in the same neighborhood. And the connection that has been stated is that he had the nickname T, the letter T. And that was what police used to get Mr. Clardy in their sights.
The brother of the victim who survived offered a physical description of the perpetrator. He identified a tattoo. He said the perpetrator had gold teeth. Mr. Clardy has neither of those things. How significant is that?
Well, we think it's hugely significant, and that's been our argument since we got back ballistics testing in this case, because the reality is that there were shell casings all over this garage. They were collected, as they typically are by police. But for reasons that are unknown to this day, they were never actually tested. They were entered into the system in a format that allowed them to never be matched up to other crimes that occurred. So when ballistics were tested in January of 2016, we received two hits to two other crimes that happened after this homicide, but prior to Mr. Clardy's trial.
Andrew Cohen of the Marshall Project, I want to turn this over to you. We have a very complicated case. We have a man whose lawyer doesn't seem to have done perhaps the best job she could for him. We have conflicting testimonies. This, to me, seems like the kind of thing that could happen in any town, in any city, in any state in the country. You, however, are very focused on this being a Tennessee story. Why is that?
The problem, I think, is made measurably worse in Tennessee because of the rules that Tennessee has set up to try to rectify these sorts of cases, to try to identify wrongful convictions, to try to generate exonerations when they're appropriate. The whole structure of the appellate process, it seems to me, is to put lawyers in the best position they can be to find errors that occur at trial, errors that are material enough to have made a difference in the outcome of the case. If you pay post-conviction attorneys a fair rate, if you allow them to do the investigative work that they say that they need to do, that they can justify, if you don't cap out their expenses or their fees to $1,000 or in some cases $2,000, you're going to get attorneys who have an economic and a financial incentive to dig at the truth, to get to the bottom of things. And if you do that, you're going to have better arguments. You're going to have more serious arguments. You're going to have more cases where wrongful convictions are identified and then rectified. Tennessee doesn't do any of that. In fact, it does such a poor job of ensuring due process and fair appellate rights based on this fee structure that the Tennessee Supreme Court itself basically said, we have to change things. There has to be a change here to the way that attorneys, post-conviction attorneys, are paid. There has to be some way that we can make this system more fair by incentivizing attorneys to get involved in the cases, to get better attorneys involved in the cases, so that we can have results that everyone can be comfortable with. And I think that's why I thought this case was suitable for case in point.
Andrew, there's one part of this that I found particularly confusing. The lawyers that are representing a defendant like Mr. Clardy on appeal, are they being assigned to the accused or are the convicted in this case, or is the individual who's convicted going out and finding that attorney and then hiring them?
It can be either way. If you're fortunate enough to have the money to pay for your own attorney, you can do so. And in fact, initially, Mr. Clardy did pay for his attorney. The trial attorney he had was retained counsel. Most people in Mr. Clardy's situation can't pay for an attorney, and so they have one provided for them. They can have a public defender provided for them, in which case they probably are lucky because some of the public defender systems in Tennessee are better than some of the others. Or they can have a private attorney appointed, in which case it's basically catch as catch can. And that, I think, also is something that Tennessee says it wants to work on, wants to sort of fix the safety net that exists.
And Jessica, this means that as the lawyer representing Mr. Clardy on appeal, there is a limit to how much money you can make?
Yes. The way that I put it in terms of for my non-attorney friends is I say I basically have to recreate the Serial podcast for $1,000.
Wow.
And you can file a motion asking for extended and complex, and they can give you up to $2,000. Most of the time, post-conviction attorneys are going to be appointed by the state of Tennessee. So I was actually the fourth or fifth appointed attorney on this case. And it puts you at odds with the client sometimes because the client wants you to do 25 different tasks and you're looking at, gosh, you know, I've got to pay these bills and I really want to give the person the best defense possible. The situation for a lot of attorneys that are asked to not only review complex cases, but you really have to recreate and retry the case if you want to meet the legal standards for getting someone a new trial.
Where does Mr. Clardy's case stand now?
So he recently was denied a new trial at the trial level, and we will be appealing that to the Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals.
So you're going to continue working for him?
Absolutely.
Jessica Van Dyke is an attorney at Parker Lawrence Law in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
And Andrew Cohen is a senior editor at The Marshall Project. Andrew, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.